Anya's hotel room was clean and fairly comfortable. TV news reports announced that a sixth body had been discovered, bobbing in the harbor. Being Latin American television, it gleefully showed the corpse of a male floating with arms outflung and a seagull perched with its webbed feet in the salt and pepper thatch of his chest. The authorities, she learned, blamed the massacre on a drug deal gone bad. Next, the sun is expected to set in the west later today, she thought with a grimace. Still, she told herself, don't be an ingrate. Had it not been for the perpetual war on drugs and the equally smashing success of the war on terror, she would have found herself facing many more uncomfortable questions about a certain propensity she displayed to turn up in proximity of the freshly dead. 7 hot, frustrating, increasingly waterlogged hours after setting forth, Anya shoved her weary, footsore way back through the revolving door into the hotel lobby. She had negotiated the Panama City public transit system, labyrinthine and irrational even by Latin American standards, with a combination explorer's instinct and hard-won experience. The sun had dropped into the Pacific. Anya hadn't found any answers. She hit the bar in the hotel. She needed to recharge and come up with a new plan, since no one she'd encountered on the waterfront would admit to knowing anything about the mysterious yacht or the bloody massacre. Her attention was immediately drawn to a man at one end of the bar.
Goddamn, nobody heard nothing, Boathouse Massacre.
He was a young man, Anya's age, maybe a bit younger. He looked as if he might be older, but that was because he was definitely the worse for wear, as was his dark suit and rumpled white shirt, whose collar lay open like a slack noose.
These people. Tell the damn truth for once.
Mind if I sit down?
The man blinked eyes like cocktail onions at her. He had olive skin, light for a local. She guessed he wore a hat and lots of sunscreen outside. He had longish dark hair, almost down to his collar, and a longish sort of face, with brown eyes and charcoal smudge eyebrows.
I'd like to ask you a few questions.
Why not? I may despair, but I am neither dead yet nor blind. I am Guillermo Miller. I am a reporter for a newspaper. A real reporter. I don't just play one on TV.
His smile was even briefer than the joke called for. His lips were loose and purple and moist. They suggested he'd been drinking many beers, as did the array of bottles on the bar before him. The eyes suggested he'd cried into them all. Anya settled on a stool beside him. They had that end of the bar to themselves. The lounge wasn't particularly crowded, and apparently the existing customers didn't want to listen to his heartfelt moans and groans.
Why do you bemoan your fate so?
I might, if I were a cautious man, suspect you to be from the authorities, come to test my discretion. But I have no such fear. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I see you are clearly an American.
Well, I'm a pretty skeptical person myself.
Oh, that's too bad. Because people like us, we skeptical rationalists, are prone to disbelieve in conspiracy theory. Because if we actually look closely at the world, we see that conspiracies do not simply exist, they abound. They're all around us.
You're right.
You agree?
Oh, yes.
Well then, you might be surprised at what I will tell you, but you may not reject it out of hand, as I feared a skeptic would. As I would before I became a reporter and began to see how the world really worked.
Don't tell me anything that's going to endanger you.
Oh, it's already beyond that, dear lady. Oh, if you went to the authorities, things would go hard with me. But the greatest risk is knowing what I know, what they dare not say. Because, you see, I have been warned.
Warned?
Warned. Warned that if I tried to publish what I had learned, well, there's always plenty of room in the broad Pacific Ocean for another body to float in.
Don't keep a girl in suspense.
I know a man. Not a good man. But one who has no reason to lie. Also, he has given me information before which was good as gold. He saw what happened at that boathouse. He was watching from an abandoned shop nearby. What he was doing there he did not say, and I did not need to know. Nor do you. He saw only from the outside. But what he saw was armed men who approached the boathouse from cars they had parked some distance away. They suddenly burst inside as if in response to some signal. And then they heard shouts and screams and a po-po-po as if someone was using an air wrench on an automotive tire.
Sound suppressed fire.
Indeed. He was frightened, as anyone would be. But he is a curious man. I do not know if he is brave so much. He has more curiosity than sense. Just like a monkey. And we're really all just monkeys, we humans, are we not?
So what did he see?
He saw a large object, much longer than it was wide or high. A box. Its shape was, shall we say, suggestive. A plain pinewood box. It seemed very heavy. It was being carried by a front-end loader.
What happened to it?
A panel truck backed up. The men shoved it inside with much grunting and cursing. That was how he knew how very heavy it must be. And the cursing was in English. North American English, senorita. My acquaintance, let us say he has frequent contact with tourists. He can recognize English accents, as some North Americans can identify Spanish ones, as you yourself can, if I am not mistaken.
Anya bit her lip. She could see why Guillermo made a good reporter. Even with his brain sloshing, he was pretty perceptive. She hoped he wouldn't be too keen in scrutinizing her.
I can.
And it was what he heard that was most intriguing indeed. What I very much wished to share with my editors, and which they told me flat out they did not wish to hear.
Which was?
Why, the name of its destination. A freighter, he said.
What was it?
That he would not say. He wanted money. A substantial sum. More than I had on hand, shall we say.
So you did try to take the story to your editors?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed, I did try that.
What did they say?
They seemed very, what would you say, reserved. Not excited, as they should be at such a scoop, no? And then, not long thereafter, I received a visit from certain parties, which I took, incidentally, to represent in its way the position my editors had taken on my story.
Police?
Who can say? They made it clear their visit was official, but off the record, as they wished my story to remain. I am a young man. I believe myself willing to put my life on the line for the truth. And perhaps I am. But it seems not so noble to die for a story that will most certainly be spiked.
This may be little consolation, but I tell you truly, Guillermo, you're right. A brave man does not simply toss his life away. Any dog can die in a ditch.
You are most wise, despite your lack of years. I salute you.
Don't be too impressed. It's an old samurai proverb.
You're a student of the martial arts?
Yes.
Good. Good, they may come in useful when you go to see my man. If, of course, you choose to do so. He lives near the old docks where the shootings took place, and the part of the Casco Viejo that is not so quaint, although it is picturesque in its own way. Here. This is his address.
Thank you for trusting me. You took a great risk, I know. But I will try to justify it.
I do risk much, and I hope you can make use of what I have told you. Many thanks for the drinks.
Guillermo walked out of the bar, not like a man intoxicated, but rather like one who had just relieved himself of a heavy burden. Anya stared after him long after he'd vanished into the early subtropical night, wondering if she was being set up. Somehow, she doubted it. His bitter chagrin and his relief at finding someone who might actually make use of his information had seemed genuine, even if his level of inebriation wasn't. Whether it was a trap or not, she was going to walk into it with her eyes open, trusting her reflexes. She realized one of the bottles on the bar in front of the young reporter's vacant stool was only half empty. Looking around, she realized that most of what she had taken for thoroughly fallen soldiers were. She picked up one and drained it. After all that, she needed a drink.